This NHL Action Network collaboration is presented by Bet365. Download the app or visit bet365.ca for the latest odds. And find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be older than 19. Available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Suddenly some intrigue in the NHL standings. It's time for another NHL Action Network collaboration. Nick Alberga and Pete Jensen. What's going on, Pete?
What's up, Nick? Yeah, we're in full swing here with Bet365 for the playoff push and a lot of intriguing numbers, whether you're looking at division title races. I was digging a little bit. I know the St. Louis Blues are an intriguing number and still hanging around in the playoff picture as well.
They are, and we're going to get to that conversation now and more with the Action Network's Michael Leboff. What's going on, Leboff?
Yeah, not too much, guys. It's I know everybody thought that these races were over a few days ago, and then things changed so quickly in the NHL, and here we are. We got races in both conferences, and pretty exciting stretch run ahead of us, so let's get into it.
New meaning to snail's race. By the way, I have a statement to make before we start jumping into things here, guys. The New Jersey Devils are frauds, okay? That's all I want to say. They've cost me so many times this season, as you referenced, Leboff. Nobody in that Eastern Conference wants that final playoff spot, but I can tell you, Leboff, it's not going to be the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, I think if you asked anybody who's betting the NHL regularly this season, if they were to pick like the team they'd least like to see on the slate every night, it would probably be the Devils. Like you have no idea after 70 something games this season, 76 games, whatever it is, what this team is going to do on a nightly basis. You have a pretty good idea that it's going to be on either end of the spectrum. It's not going to be something in the middle. There's been nothing consistent about what this team does. Every time you think that they are about to, you know, surge and take advantage of a pedestrian playoff race, they put up a dud, or they blow two goal leads, and then on the contrary, after these games where you're like, okay, that's it, the wind is out of their sails, and they beat the Dallas Stars or something like that, you know, pretty comprehensively. So yeah, I'm pretty excited that this team is just not going to factor into much more of the NHL season, because they've just been an absolute disaster to handicap.
You know, it says it all on Bet365. I see 7 teams listed in the make-miss playoff conversation, and I don't see New Jersey on there right now. So either they're going back to the drawing board and they'll have a different number, a much longer shot number later in the day, or they're just fading that team altogether, because they've been as confusing as anybody. 6th in the NHL in puck possession shot attempts percentage, yet they're going to miss the playoffs here. Couple other teams that are high on that list: Pittsburgh, in terms of the shot attempts percentage, they're still alive. Washington, very low on that pecking order relative to the rest of the league. Mike, those two teams actually meet later in the week. Are you leaning one way or another? Because Washington had a real bad showing against Buffalo, who's also still mathematically alive here.
Yeah, I think what that game in Buffalo showed everybody was just how the betting market is really sharp, right? Like, we know that it's such a good way to project a team's true value. It's just to look at the betting value, the betting market from start to finish in an NHL season. And that game closed with the Sabres as a favorite. And in a meaningless, you know, you can say the Sabres are still alive, but we know that they're not. And in a semi-meaningless game for Buffalo, and a game that is massive for the Washington Capitals, who have been, you know, grinding through a pretty tough part of the schedule, and they came out on pretty, I would say, unscathed and looking better than what they did going into that tough bit of schedule. The Sabres still closed as a favorite. The bookmakers knew that the Capitals were going to be the side that took more casual money in that spot, and they were proven to be right. Like the Sabres took it to the Capitals, so it tells you that, you know, compared to other teams in this race, like, the Capitals are still a very mediocre team by power ratings. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Penguins be a sharp side on Friday night. Like you said, they are the better 5-on-5 team. It just comes down to how many mistakes the Penguins make and if they're clinical in front of goal. But that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, schedule makers love to put those Capitals Penguins games on the docket late into a year, assuming both teams will be involved in like a playoff race. And a couple weeks ago, we probably looked at that one as like, it might mean something for the Capitals, but nothing for the Penguins. And all of a sudden, it could be a massive game for both sides. So, yeah, I would lean towards the Penguins. We'll see where it opens. I'm assuming that they're going to take money right away and close as a favorite. But, yeah, that just tells you where we're at. Like, the teams that the team that is in third place or was in third place in the Metro was a road dog against a team that is was well out of it in terms of the Sabres. So it's, you know, the betting market has no confidence in any of these teams, and why should it?
I don't have any confidence in any of these teams, but there's no ifs this time of year, as you know. Typically speaking, I do seem to side with the teams that have the games in hand, and of course, Washington has 8 games left. You look at Detroit, the Islanders, Pittsburgh, 7 left, and Philadelphia, 6. Assuming the Capitals could be in the driver's seat, but maybe not, who do you think is in the biggest trouble of missing, like in terms of who's in a playoff spot right now? It has to be Philadelphia, you know?
Yeah, I think the Flyers are in some serious water. Like, this team has done a really good job of responding and stabilizing throughout the entire season. But now with kind of, like, the situation in goal could go in a million different directions. That's an issue. The defense has taken a hit, obviously, with Sean Walker going, and they've just been rotating bodies in and out. I know Sealer's back, but how banged up is he after missing a bunch of weeks? Eric Johnson's a new piece. He wasn't really setting the world on fire in Buffalo either. The forwards, Tortorella isn't getting consistency out of, you know, a bunch of guys in like the middle to the bottom part of the lineup. Couturier's hurt now. Torts called out his team again after what I thought was actually a pretty gritty effort against the Islanders. So it feels weird there. But I don't want to get ahead of myself with this team, because every time I think I want to, you know, put them out of the race and think that this is the time to catch them, they've proven everybody wrong. So maybe that was just some locker room management by Tortorella to try to inspire them and give them a common enemy, being himself. And their schedule is still pretty light. But at the same time, like, they've proven, like everyone else in this race, they can lose to anybody on any given night. So they have the shortest runway. They've got a huge one, obviously, Friday night, and against a Sabres team that has been now pesky. And the Sabres and Montreal Canadiens are like the two biggest teams in this race, because everybody's playing them. I know the Islanders still have a game left with the Canadiens. I think the Capitals have a game or two against the Canadiens. I still think the Flyers have one left against them. I'm not sure about the Penguins anymore, because, you know, they just got back into the race. I haven't taken too deep a look at their schedule. But yeah, those are the games where I think you're going to catch good numbers on teams like the Sabres and Canadiens that, yeah, they're a little bit worse than the Flyers, Islanders, Penguins, etc., but the gap just isn't that wide. So when the bookmakers bake in that must-win tax, it's you're probably going to get value going the other way.
We love spoilers this time, Yuri. You referenced that Philadelphia schedule. They're on a four-game road trip, Buffalo, Columbus, Montreal, the Rangers, then they finish up with New Jersey and Washington on home ice. So it helps that you play a couple teams that you're sort of chasing, namely the Washington Capitals and other teams in the mix. But I think, Pete, when you look at the numbers at Philadelphia, as Mike brought up, they're not great. I mean, 2-3-3 since scratching Sean Couturier for the first time, winless in 5-0-3-2 in that stretch. And it doesn't favor them either when it comes to games remaining. They have 6 left.
No, it's true. And the Islanders have a game in hand. I know, Mike, you and I were both in the building, different sections, of course, but it was, it's been, the Islanders are right back in this thing after back-to-back wins Monday and Tuesday, a massive game on Thursday at Columbus. Columbus is another spoiler team. They beat the Avs the other day. That one feels like one that the Blue Jackets, you know, could ruin the Islanders' season there, because they are one game in hand on the Flyers, 2 points behind, so they're right there right now after beating them the other day.
Yeah, that's one where you're probably going to catch a good number on Columbus at home, and you're going to want to think and tread really carefully before betting the Islanders, because what they showed it last night against the Blackhawks, right? Like, they can be the better team all night long, but they are just not equipped to really impose their will on any team in this NHL. So the Islanders are definitely a team you don't want to be laying big numbers with. I know that they're going to have a goaltending advantage, whether it's Varlamov, who's in good form, or Sorokin, who maybe getting back into the rhythm that we saw from him earlier in the season after a good performance against Chicago. But, you know, they just don't have the high end talent isn't as, you know, dominant as a team like Tampa, right? Like, you'd expect a guy like Kucherov and Point, Hedman, those guys can just take over a game, whereas, like, yeah, Barzal and Horvat were the two best players on the ice against Chicago, but they're just not that level above, like where those superstars for Tampa or Toronto or Boston with Pasternak and Marchand and McAvoy, like they're just not there yet as a group. So the Islanders are a team you don't want to be laying those kind of numbers with. I'll be rooting for them as a fan, of course, but I'm not going to be betting them on Thursday in Columbus. I think it's a pretty scary situation for them.
Leboff, here's a fun question for you. It's a copycat league. This time last year, nobody really had the Florida Panthers on the radar. They go on that impeccable run. They go all the way to the Stanley Cup final. Is there a team on the outside looking in right now when it comes to, I guess, the Eastern Conference? Maybe you can include St. Louis in that conversation, as Pete brought up, where you're like, you know what? It could be worth my time to place a futures bet on, where it's like you think if they can get in, they can go on a substantial run here.
Yeah, I think in the West it would be Los Angeles, because where everyone finishes in the Eastern Conference, I think isn't going to be as impactful. I think that you're splitting hairs when you're choosing between Boston, Florida, Toronto. I think you could put a Tampa like a shade behind those three teams right now, but those are going to be really close matchups. So it's not like there's like an easy matchup. And then in the Metro, yeah, the Rangers and Carolina are likely going to get the best first round matchups of anybody in the NHL, but after that they're going to have to in all likelihood deal with one another. And then in the West, like the path is there for a team to maybe upset Vancouver, who I think is a great team. You know, like obviously you don't get to 100 plus points by accident, but they're playing such tight coin flip games, and the Kings just love that. So if you think Los Angeles can draw Vancouver in round one, or they end up drawing Vancouver in round one, that's a team that I think has a plenty of upset potential. We've seen the Kings play a really strong 5-on-5 game for most of the season. They had that one downswing, and a lot of that was I think just some weird stuff with the team kind of losing control of the season itself, right? Like the coach leaves and they finally kind of galvanize, and there was injuries and bodies. They get Arvidsson back in the lineup, Mikey Anderson back in the lineup. The goaltending stabilizes a bit. They're playing a great defensive game. That's a team that you'd imagine will just drag whoever they play in round one into the deep end of the pool. So I think that Los Angeles still has some sleeper potential. They're I think around 12-ish to one to win the West, 15 to one maybe out there still, and they're the one team I think that could profile as that Florida Panthers or even Vegas Golden Knights, from last year too. I think I came on the show and I was talking about Vegas being the most vulnerable favorite in the first round of the playoffs against Winnipeg, and Winnipeg won Game One. It felt like everybody in the betting community was kind of on the right track with that take, and a couple of months later, the Golden Knights are winning the Stanley Cup.
So both Vegas and St. Louis right now, 7-2-1 in their past 10 games, both playing well. Sounds like Tomas Hertl could come back as early as Friday and make his anticipated Golden Knights debut. Interesting if you could maybe place a futures wager on the defending champs right now before Hertl comes back. Eichel's playing really well, so they're still without Aiden Hill, but Logan Thompson hasn't missed a beat. Mike, are you interested in that type of wager right now on Vegas?
Yeah, the Knights, man, they're a funny team, right? Like, unfortunately, their number just like never gets too long where they become the type of bet I want to make. Like, they're 12-1 right now. I think that looks about fair, but I wouldn't talk anybody out of betting it, because whereas we have a good idea of the ceiling of most teams in the Stanley Cup kind of picture right now, we've got no idea with Vegas. Like a guy like Tomas Hertl comes into your lineup, and after his first three or four games and he gets settled and he figures out like where his role is, and the coaches figure out his best spot on a team like this, they're quite interesting, man. They might end up being the best team in this entire field.
Yeah, it is a unique take, obviously, to look at that Vegas team, because they won the Stanley Cup last year, but suddenly, I mean, they put up efforts like the way they played against Vancouver on Tuesday, and like you're like, I could see a route where they go substantially far, and it's fair to say that, especially with the horsepower they have, the guys potentially returning. Speaking of which, I wanted to get your take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. Like, are you buying this 8-1-1 in the last 10 games? For me, they're always on the periphery because of the big names they boast. You know, Kucherov's having a Hart Trophy-esque season. Stamkos is a bit more quiet lately, but he's a guy who can turn things up. Braden Point's been on fire. They got Vasilevsky. They got Hedman. The big thing for me is not having Sergachev, so I don't know how far this team will go. But I would not want to play them in the first round.
Yeah, I think that's the way to look at them, right? They are a team that has some serious upset potential in round one. I don't know if just because of their lack of depth, they're going to have enough bodies to make like the deep run that would be necessary to not just win, but also get Sergachev in the lineup and address those issues too. But what the more I thought about this, and we talked about this a little bit on Line Change, our NHL betting podcast at the Action Network, was there's a couple of things happening with Tampa, right? Like they get Duclair and Dumba. Nobody really paid attention to it. But what those two bodies do is they put everybody else into the right spot in this lineup. Like nobody's playing up one more rung than they're supposed to anymore. And that's a huge deal for a team that was really, really lacking depth for a lot of the season, was really top heavy, relying on how far Kucherov, Point, Hedman could take them. And the other thing I think is flying under the radar with Tampa is players like Nick Perbix and Mikey Essamont and Darren Radish. Like these are NHL players, but they're getting better, right? And that makes sense. And the type of environment like Tampa, where you're, now that they know they've got a home and a role and they're part of this group, that it takes a lot of pressure off them, allows them to just settle in and improve. And I think we're seeing that. Like these guys are getting better as the season going on. So perhaps you looked at those spots and said, yeah, good NHL players, but not good enough. Like now I think they've all taken a step forward in their career. Brandon Hagel too has been maybe the most underrated player in the entire season. So he got some serious jam to his game as well. And Vasilevsky is the biggest part, right? Like he's really come into form lately. So yeah, they've got upset potential, in that Atlantic bracket for sure. And we're the team that like, if you're, finishing first in the Metro, like you are, counting your lucky stars, you're not catching Tampa in round one.
Yeah, there are a couple of potential returns down the line. I guess it would include potentially Sergachev. I don't know if he's going to come back, though. There's also Landeskog. I don't think we've talked about on any of our shows with Colorado, but he remains a distant possibility for the Avalanche. And tying it into Colorado, Mike, I wanted to ask you about the four second place teams in each division right now. You can get juicy numbers on all four of them. There's Edmonton to win the Pacific, plus 275. Florida to win the Atlantic, plus 325. Colorado, a little longer, plus 350 to catch Dallas. They're 3 points behind with the same number of games played. And then plus 375 on the Hurricanes to win the Metro. Are there any of those four that you're interested in, and any of those four where you could see the motivation in the second place team to want to catch the first place team?
I think Carolina is the most interesting of them. The number is decent, but you can also just look at it and say, if I'm going to bet Carolina to win the Metro, that means they're catching the President's Trophy favorite at the moment, which is the Rangers. So you can also split it or just bet the President's Trophy at 7-1 instead. I could see Carolina finishing down the stretch with whatever the requisite that they need, right? 6-1, 7-1, whatever they've got left. Like that, they're a team that just when they roll, and you blink and they're on like a 14-game point streak throughout the regular season. So I think that they've got that upside. Colorado, I don't know if they're putting that much of an impetus on getting, winning the division anymore. I'm sure it's nice, but like you're 3 points back, and I don't really think with the way the Jets are going lately, there's that much of a difference between playing Winnipeg or playing Nashville. Like I'd almost say you'd want to play Winnipeg over Nashville right now. But these are professional hockey players, so I'm sure they're not looking at it that way. So that's an interesting thing. And the thing about the Oilers, and this is a part of a point I think is really important to keep in mind, Edmonton's going to be playing 10 games in their last 18 days of the regular season. They have a back-to-back right before the regular season ends. So they play that Wednesday, Thursday, those last 2 days of the regular season. And then the league moved the playoffs up to start the 20th. So I think Edmonton is going to really manage the minutes for McDavid, Dreisaitl, down the list, Ekholm, Nurse, all these guys, Bouchard. I think that they're going to be one team that's going to really rotate their lineup as we get into that last week. And I think that will help to keep us away from betting them to win the division. I know McDavid might be in the Art Ross race, but I'd assume that the team would say, like, we don't, maybe we should just pump the brakes here with your loan management, I think is the term, right? In the NBA, like use that kind of strategy because they were playing so much hockey down the stretch. And then with the playoffs moving up, nobody's getting a break. So you'd assume Edmonton would play that Sunday. They're going to want their guys to be fresh. So that's just one thing to keep in mind. You're going to be able to catch some big numbers going against Edmonton down the stretch, and you might be able to wake up the next morning, see that Dreisaitl or McDavid are out of the lineup, and you're sitting with like a ton of closing line value.
It reminds me of like preseason hockey or like spring training baseball where you just don't know what's going to transpire. Right. I want to get your take on the Florida Panthers and if there's any concern from your standpoint. 4-7-1 since the trade deadline. One regulation win in the past 10. Verhaeghe goes down against Toronto. Ekblad goes down against Montreal. Where are you at with the Florida Panthers? And for some reason, the name Spencer Knight just on my radar right now. I know Bobrovsky's had a great season, Vezina candidate. But the way Knight's been playing, I think you talk about down the stretch and a team of the Panthers clinching a playoff spot. I think we could see him. And just never say never when it comes to the crease and the volatility. But your general thoughts on the Florida Panthers down the stretch here.
Yeah, I'm concerned for them right now, but that's probably just because we're in the moment where they're struggling. I think when the playoffs begin, we're going to be kicking ourselves, being like, how did we kind of fall into this trap? Because we are in the dog days, right? Like, this has been such a long season, and a team like Florida probably just wants to get it going. And as I said, like, the Atlantic Division, it really doesn't matter where you finish. Like, you're drawing a tough round one opponent, whether it's Boston, Toronto, Tampa, Florida, whoever it is. So it's not that much of a big deal to win the division or to finish second. I know they're going to want home ice advantage, etc. But so I do wonder if we're getting lulled a bit here by the Panthers. They're still the Stanley Cup favorite at some sports books. And I think that their upside and what we've seen from them this season, that's still deserving status. Like, if you want to say this is the best team in the East, go right ahead. I still don't disagree with you there. Every team goes through these ups and downs throughout a regular season. Theirs just happens to be happening right now. That said, like, if they don't like drag themselves out of it a bit, then you can start really asking some questions about them going into round one. But I do trust that this team will collect themselves and start winning some games. And I think they'll be a team that I want to bet on in like their game against Boston and stuff like that.
Do you subscribe to the fatigue factor, though? And I know, you know, teams have gone to the contrary of that feeling and that look, but like, Vegas and Florida are just like fascinating to me. Like, I wonder what the odds would be on like one of those teams losing in the first round, because I think it's realistic for both sides. Like, I think you sort of lose sight of how difficult it truly is to get to a Stanley Cup final to begin with.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair to a fair kind of hole to poke in both these teams, as they've played more hockey than anybody right now in a short truncated amount of time, and Florida's banged up and all that. So I wonder if like the Panthers at some point just say like, let's just shut it down for a couple of days and give these guys the break that they all need, and especially right like that, the league moving the playoffs up a little bit is actually a bigger deal than I think people realize, because it takes away that rest factor for a lot of teams. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Florida, if Boston kind of just like puts them away in the divisional race. They just say like, we just got to get the most important thing for us is getting everybody healthy. You know, hand Stolarz or Spencer Knight, you know, a bunch of starts down the stretch, so Bobrovsky's ready to go for round game one. Similar with like Tkachuk, who of course was, you know, banged up last year, and it was just an illness, but you want to make sure that him and Verhaeghe, Ekblad, Reinhardt, down the list, like now that they've got guys, bodies in from the deadline, just like let the kind of depth players take over for a few games. So yeah, we'll see, man. Like, they are the Knights and Panthers certainly can be in some trouble in round one.
Mike, what are you looking at trends wise as far as betting the rest of the week, or any props you like? One note I wanted to say with this ongoing spoiler role for the Sabres, even though they don't have enough runway left to make the playoffs, most likely you got Philly on Friday and Detroit on the road on Sunday. One note, Buffalo has beaten Detroit, the Islanders, Washington, and New Jersey in the past month, all by multiple goals. So that's worth noting here.
Yeah, and I think I'll end up on the Sabres on Friday against the Flyers. It looks like a right now, if you look at these two teams, and you were just to say, okay, if we played 82 games, which one is better in the next 82 games? I think everybody would say the Sabres, probably. Maybe not by much, but that's where these two teams are at right now. It's at home. I know the Sabres are going to try their best to close out the season strong. Maybe there's a mirage of a like a, oh, we can, you know, if we run the table, we can get back into it, especially because they're playing Philly and Detroit these next two games. But so they can convince themselves of a last gasp. And like I said, I just don't like the way that Philly's looking in terms of like their game management. They're not managing games really well, which is something they were doing all season long. The Red Wings, by the way, I think that they are, we keep lumping these teams together. Like, the Red Wings are playing better than they were for when they were, obviously it's easy to say because they lost like those seven games in a row and had some trouble coming out of that losing streak. But right now I think Detroit's game looks better than it has in quite a bit. So I think that they have some upside compared to Washington or Philadelphia. So I don't think that the Red Wings are a team I'm just going to take the bait, you know, the good numbers to go against. I actually think that game Friday night they have against the Rangers would be an interesting spot to bet Detroit. I think that could be a spot where the Rangers look to rest Igor Shesterkin. They're going to want to give him some breathers down the stretch and manage his minutes as they get ready for round one. So I think Detroit on Friday night is going to be an interesting spot. Thursday night, like I said, I think Pittsburgh against Washington will be a bet for me. I'm definitely not going to be betting the Islanders against the Blue Jackets in a similar spot. And then just sticking with the Capitals here, I think, you know, that Senators game on Sunday is another situation where you're going to probably get a decent number on the Capitals, but I would tread really carefully because the Senators, too, have just been pesky and are doing their typical Senators thing.
Yeah, normal tap dance. I just want somebody to emerge here in the Eastern Conference. A couple things I'm looking at. I like LA, the three-way for them. They need a victory badly against Seattle coming up on Wednesday. And I'm going to play into the Art Ross conversation. Edmonton at Dallas on Wednesday. Give me McDavid over 1.5. And then Thursday, McKinnon against Minnesota on the road. Give me over 1.5 there. Just to wrap Leib off, anything cooking on line change this week?
Yeah, we've got our regular Thursday episode that will drop, you know, we'll record it today, and it'll drop sometime overnight. Then, you know, down the stretch we go. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll be covering every game in the Stanley Cup playoffs as they come. We'll probably, you know, adjust our schedule too as these games, you know, ramp up in importance down in that last stretch. And maybe if like there's an award bet. One I do want to touch on is just Andrew Brunette, by the way. I still think there's a little bit of value on him in the Jack Adams at 25-1, but I'll keep it there. I think it's self-explanatory. Don't need to go too deep into it. But yeah, that's about it with Nick and Tim. And we're always happy to come on this show as well.
Always great stuff from Line Change. Thanks for coming on, Mike. And wanted to just touch on a couple of these spoiler games and some props angles before we wrap. For Buffalo, Paterka and Tuck up top with a rejuvenated Tage Thompson have been really productive lately fantasy-wise and also in the props market. And also for Columbus, I was looking Zach Werenski since the beginning of February, top 10 among defensemen in points with 20 and 25 games. So he's back to normal. As far as the spoiler roll for Thursday, we like that spot for them against the Islanders. Marchenko's been really good. And Alex Nylander still lurking there. 10 goals in 17 games with the Jackets. So a lot of different angles there on Columbus's end.
Indeed. 17 days away from the Stanley Cup playoffs, boys. Can't wait. For Pete Jensen and Michael Leiboff, I'm Nick Alberga. This NHL Action Network collaboration is presented by Bet365. Download the app or visit bet365.ca for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be older than 19, available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly.